Okay, so first things first, I'm sitting here with Mel Howard, Ed May, and I'm Monica Kronick, and we're going to do this oral history on November 30th, 2016. Okay, so I heard through the grapevine that you were on the fire department.
I'm a charter member.
Charter member, yeah. All right, I have some questions, because, you know, so they're working on getting an exhibit in the new City Hall
Yes.
for the La France.
Yes,
so
I'm real proud of that.
Yeah. So I'm supposed to ask you, how many years have you resided in Boyne City?
Well, I'm 84, and I was gone 5 years, so the rest of the time I've lived in Boyne City.
Wow.
Yeah, long time.
He's born in Boyne.
Born in Boyne?
At Deer Lake.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Everett Kircher's end of the golf course.
Oh, wow.
There used to be a farm there.
Wow. So did you grow up on a farm?
This is a little story. When school let out in the spring, my granddad Howard picked me up, took me out to his farm on the other side of Boyne Falls, and I picked beans until school started. And I did that for about 5 years until I got old enough to get a permit to start working out.
Wow.
It takes a lot of beans to make 100 pounds, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it does. So how many years have you spent as a firefighter?
Well, I was a charter member in 1963.
Wow.
And I was on the... Well, they... got to tell you, when I got out of service in 56, I came home here. I worked for my dad... gas station downtown. The old fire hall was right behind, right across the corner here. And whenever there was a fire, they had the city crew and the police department as the only firemen they had. And so they had a tendency to call me. And so I was fighting fire before I became a regular fireman.
Oh, wow.
And in 73, we had a bowling banquet at the hotel. And Everett Haddix came up to my table. He said, we're starting a volunteer fire department. He said, you are on it.
Wow.
And that's how it got started. Yeah.
I think that's, Oral had mentioned that
the other day. Oral was a charter member too.
Very cool. Yeah.
Bill Christian and Oral and I think are the only three left.
Wow. Yeah. And Bill Christensen, is that what he said? I'm going to jot that name down because I think I might want to talk to him too.
I'll get him next.
Bill Christensen? Okay. So then I guess that means that all of your years of firefighting was here in Boyne City.
Yes.
You didn't fight fires anywhere else. So what was your the position that you held on the Boyne City Fire?
I started out as a lieutenant, worked my way up to chief. I was chief for 2 years. I got in some real bad smoke on Pincherry Road, and it was either get off the department or someone was going to have to come in and drag me out, and I didn't want to take a chance on that.
Wow.
So I more or less retired then.
Got it.
But if they had a bad fire, needed someone to run a pump or something, I was available.
That must have been hard having to give that up.
It was.
Yeah.
It was either give that up or, like I say, I was in a building that didn't come out and someone had to come in at me and I was endangering other people's lives.
That's true. Yeah.
Mel, at that time, would Boyne City still back up another department? In other words, if you had a major fire in East Jordan,
East Jordan was our partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mel might have gone to East Jordan to help in a fire, like East Jordan would come to us.
Okay, got it.
It's kind of we'll cover each other's flank.
The night the termites house built down here burned, we had three homes of fire at the same time. We called East Jordan over and they hooked up on a hydrant down by where the laundry used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They collapsed the line because there's a wooden line.
Wow, a wooden line? What does that mean?
Instead of a metal line for water, they had old wooden ones.
Wow.
And East Jordan's truck had enough suction that it collapsed the line. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of the old water lines, both in here and Detroit, were made out of tamarack.
Wow.
And they bore holes through them and use a metal fitting to join the logs together.
Huh. Interesting. So what made you interested in becoming a firefighter?
Well, when I was in the Navy, I had firefighting experience. And I guess some of the guys knew that. Everett Hacks knew that. He was on the police department at the time. And so they just automatically called me.
Got it.
The difference between the way I fought fire in the service, we used fog instead of steady streams because it absorbed all the oxygen and put the fire out real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And so it came in handy.
Yeah. Did they ever try anything like that here?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Butch Erber, I think, was fire chief when they had a fire out here off Marshall Road. And they hit the fire, and the front room was solid flames. And they walked in with a 2-inch hose and hit it with fog, and it went out. You would never know there was a fire in there except for the scorched charred stuff.
Wow. Yeah, so. It makes sense, though, when you think about how it'll smother it, pretty much. That's pretty cool. Do you recall any of the names of any early Boyne City firefighters who may no longer be living?
Oh, God, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's my cousin Roscoe Howard. He's gone. Jake Janak's gone. Dick Starks is gone. Jim Kelts is gone. Garlock.
Tom Miller?
No, not Garlock. Used to be the city manager, or secretary. Isn't that something? I can't remember his name now.
That's only because we're getting just a little older.
It was Garlock. Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah, I was right. Oh, there's got to be some other ones too, but that's been a long time, honey.
Yep. Please tell me about one of your most memorable experiences at Boyne City Fire.
I've got a lot of money. I guess the night that the three houses were fire was one of them. Jake Janak was the fire chief. He lived out here in the township. And we had every hose we had owed at that time fighting those fires. And he came in the morning to go to work. And what the hell are you guys doing washing the streets? He didn't know we had all them.
Wow.
And another time, Jake and Janak and I were fighting the Barden fire. And we went in with an 1.5-inch hose. And it was so hot in that fire that these aerosol cans were going off. And we got almost to the cash register, and they had a ceiling display, and it came down. And we thought the roof had come down on us. And we had to follow that 2-inch hose back outside.
Wow.
I can remember going in the Flatiron building up here and pulling that guy out of the fire. He was dead, of course.
Was that the same one that Oral talked about, the Flatiron?
I believe so.
Yep.
The old sanitarium on the corner.
Right there in the corner.
Where Woody's.
Yeah, where Woody's at.
Yep.
There was a gas station in the bottom. Bert Feudy owned a gas station. Mm-hmm. And it was covered in metal siding. And so when that building caught a fire, it couldn't get through the walls. It just went right straight up. Mm. And there was a old gentleman in there with Sonny Snyder and his dog. And we got Sonny and his dog out. And I happened to find the guy that was in the fire. Mm. And Howard Crozier and I got him out in a body bag.
Mm.
Then there was a fire up here off Division Street across from the old waterworks where we lost two boys because his folks had a dresser over the window and we couldn't get into him.
Yeah.
It's Mel and I go back a lot of years.
Got it.
Back into the 60s.
And Howard and Crozier and I pulled a hall boy out of a trailer off Jefferson Street.
Yeah.
Got a lot of memories, yeah.
It's, but there are good ones, too.
Oh, yeah. We played and partied as hard as we fought fire.
I've heard.
Yeah.
It's.
It seems like you build a real brotherhood.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I am so proud of this department. When we started, we had three trucks. An old Dodge from the DNR, an International from a Navy air base, and an old fuel oil truck we had for a tanker. And at the City Hall and Fire Department at that time, there was only one door. If that first truck didn't start, you couldn't get anything out. Yeah.
That's what Oral was telling us about that. And there was one time when it didn't, there was one time when he couldn't get it out. And I forget what he said he did, but he did something and...
Push.
Yeah, push, right? Yeah, yeah, push. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody push.
But yeah, and our meeting hall was above the police department and the dispatch department. And we had to walk across planks and so we wouldn't fall in the sand.
Did you guys have a fire pole?
No.
No fire pole?
No. We, at that time, it was all volunteer.
Okay.
And we had radios at home.
Got it.
And when they went off, you went.
That's what, and then Oral was saying that the whistle, before you got the radios, they had the whistle.
Yeah.
Yep. So do you have any additional comments or thoughts you'd like to share about the fire department?
I'm so proud of those guys, you can't believe it.
Yeah.
There is a brotherhood there, yes.
Yep. Yep.
And the equipment they got now, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Our department at one time was well enough trained. There was a fireman from Detroit, full-time, and he moved up here, and we went to a couple fires, and he came to me one day, and he said, "Mel, I got to shake your hand." He said, "You guys are as good as any paid department I've ever seen."
Wow.
Yep. That was a compliment, believe me.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all I'm going to ask you about, questions I'm going to ask you about firefighting, unless it comes up. But I want to ask you some questions about Boyne City.
All right.
So you owned a business here in town.
Yes, I started a business in 57.
So what was the name of your business?
Howard's Oil Company.
And that was in downtown Boyne City?
That was Charlevoix County.
Okay.
In 1 year, I put 10,000 miles on that truck. And never got out of Charlevoix County.
Wow. So what did you do for your business?
That was a fuel, oil, and gasoline distributorship.
Got it.
My dad owned the gas station then, and I bought that from him in 78. And I turned that into Mel's Service, and that was the convenience store. Then I sold that to Johnson's Oil and Gaylord, and they tore the old one down and put the new one up.
Oh.
It's now the gas station down here in the corner.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And that's the old fire department. It used to be just on the back side of your property.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if somebody blew a whistle, he just stepped out the back door.
Kind of like Oral with Huntington when he worked for Huntington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Same general proposition.
So did your dad live here?
Yeah, my dad lived here.
And he was born and raised here?
No, he was born in Kentucky.
Okay. What brought him to Boyne City?
When the Howard family moved up here, they came up in a boxcar. And he had, my grandpa Howard had about four brothers that all came up. At that time, it was a lumber business.
Mm-hmm.
And my granddad Howard, he went farming, and the rest of them worked for the lumber companies.
In a boxcar. Wow.
Yeah, they came up Kentucky in a boxcar.
So you must remember, talking about the boxcar, you must remember the train.
Oh, yeah. I run the train one whole summer.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I was one of the stockholders here in town.
When the railroad closed and was about to totally go bankrupt and be wiped out, a group of the business owners here in Boyne got together with somebody from downstate and put the railroad in as a tourist train running back and forth from here to Boyne Falls.
Oh, wow.
We had great dreams, but they never materialized. We wanted to bring them from Boyne Falls to Boyne City. We wanted to buy a North Side Wheeler boat, take a tour to Lake Charlevoix. But it never happened. Yeah. But that one summer, when my business, fuel business, was slow, Howard Finow and George Gardner, Howard was the engineer and George was the brakeman. They taught me how to run the engine. And so that was my summer job. I made three trips to Boyne Falls a day.
And they did it legally. They had a flagman out there.
Oh, yeah.
When the train would come to the road, there's a man out there stopping traffic.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was this?
Oh, God. Ed, you're better years than I am.
Oh, in the 70s?
Yeah.
70s and 80s.
Wow.
They wound up with the last steam engine to sail to steam here in Boyne is now out on the East Coast. It's been rebuilt and she still steams. The Then they bought a diesel electric, basically a yard engine that they used back and forth. And then they invested in the
car. Buses. The car, we had, what, four coach cars?
Yep. Yep. And there was the English engine that they brought over. And the four cars to go with it. And then they hit the big auction, and everything just kind of went spoof.
Fact is, the guy that bought our diesel engine on out west never paid for it.
Wow.
He never paid for it, yep.
Because he scammed.
I don't know. He was a shyster. He was a shyster, is what he was, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
We used to run that train over to the Polish festival. Went over one time ahead, and I never got out of the engine. And I'm glad it had tracks to get back to Point City.
Yeah, the Polish festival.
The Mel had some other interesting stories and information that he shared with me occasionally when he was a business owner in Boyne. And it's to be a business owner in Boyne, you have to be almost a non-political entity.
Yeah.
Mel, I believe, if I remember correctly, was on the school board.
4 years.
Oh, wow.
That was a Twin Valley and school board, East Jordan, Boyne City.
I heard about this. Somebody was just telling me that there was plans at one time to have a school built out in Wilson Township somewhere.
Mm-hmm. At that time, on the school board, there was four real smart businessmen. And we had plans to have one of the best vocational education schools in northern Michigan. And Boyne City and East Jordan couldn't get along, and it took a state meeting to split the two school districts up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How long were they combined like that for?
For, well, about 7 years, 7, 8 years. Right. Yeah.
It's Mel learned the hard way. If you become a school board member and I'm selling product to Monica and I do something on the school board that Monica doesn't like, all of a sudden Monica may pay a nickel more a gallon but will leave my business.
Yep.
And that hurt. It hurt Mel, and unfortunately at that time our school board needed businessmen because the school is a business.
Right.
And yet, if you stuck to your principles, people would look at it and they would say, bad boy, no biscuit. And Mel suffered from that.
The only political position I hold right now, I'm on the jury board for Charlevoix County. I've been on that for 40 or 20 years.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So then if you were on this, do you have kids?
I had three kids, two daughters and a boy.
And did they all go to school here in Boyne City?
They all went to school in Boyne City.
Are they still here?
Kathy lives in Susan Lake, and she's she ran for judgeship. Kerr, Beth Ann Kerr, she's her secretary.
Okay.
Kelly, the oldest one, worked for the Soils Conservation for Charlevoix County, and she just retired.
Oh, wow.
And my son, Chris, when he graduated, he went to Adrian.
Okay.
He graduated for Adrian, and right now he's teaching school at Zenith Heights College in Adrian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So do you have grandkids, too, then?
I got four.
Four grandkids.
Yeah. I got three boys and one girl. Of course, that girl's spoiled rotten.
I'm sure. So, what do you think the biggest change has been here in Boyne City?
Oh, my gosh, girl. Well, when the tannery closed, and they developed that was one change. Another change I've seen is along by behind the old City Hall, in quarters of, or what do they call it in the house?
Bendix?
Honeywell. Yeah. And up the street where that empty lot was, there was a factory there. And the people in Boyne just raised holy heck because they let them build those factories on the waterfront. You couldn't see the lake anyway. It was all brush and gut and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a change. And Of course, the old school I graduated from used to sit right there.
Right.
That's gone. Now I guess that one's sitting empty. But the school system is really improved.
The telephone system's improved.
Yeah. Have the roads gotten any better?
Some of them.
It's, I think Mel was one of the first people to quote me, Eddie, it's the view of the bay, not the pay.
It's true.
And that was,
I can remember when the big coal boats used to come here for coal for the tannery.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember that coal pile catching a fire one winter. You know, we'd have Lilac Moore come in with a bulldozer to tear the pile down, and we had a fire truck down there putting the fire out as they moved the coal.
We used to have the coal fire at the tannery. We also had it out of the old powerhouse.
Hmm.
It's there were a lot of things then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad worked at the tannery for 25 years.
Okay.
Before he quit and opened the gas station. And he was working at the tannery when I went into service. And when I was in high school, I used to love to go down there with him at night because I could take a shower and use all the hot water I wanted. Yeah.
I've heard lots about the smell from the tannery.
Yeah, but you know, you get used to it.
Mick was saying today that when his dad worked at the tannery, yeah, you could smell him before he actually came through the door.
They had to change their clothes before they came home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But during the war, they made a lot of taps for the army boots and stuff.
Yeah, Mick was saying that once synthetic stuff came along, it just kind of took the whole leather business right out.
I can remember those carloads coming in of like hides. Man, you'd open them doors up, and it just about knock you right down from the smell. And I can remember my dad telling about one time they got a carload from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And the hides were so much bigger than the ones they were having. It would take two men to handle one hide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, coming from Brazil.
Well, the tannery received hides from the United States and also from basically all over South America. And that's a long train ride.
I know, and the cars probably were not refrigerated.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's warm in South America.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and my dad was a foreman in what they called the wet end. Mm. And that's when the cars would come in, and they'd load them. Then they'd take them and run them through vats to loosen the hair up. Then they'd take them out and run them through what they call a fleshing machine. Then they'd run through another machine to take the hair off. And then they'd put them in big vats or drums, rolling drums, of a tanning solution, which would tan the hide. Well, yeah, it was interesting, but...
Yeah.
I can remember going all the way through that tannery with him. I can remember so many of the guys who used to work down there, too. Yeah.
That's cool. So what did you do for fun in Boyne City when you were a kid? Can you say?
Well, sports is my biggest entertainment.
What did you play?
Baseball, basketball, and football.
Got it.
Yeah. In fact, just my senior year, we went to the state semifinals.
Oh, wow.
In a school by the name of Detroit St. Andrew beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they had a guy playing. It was Frank Tahana. He used to pitch for Detroit.
Oh, wow.
Jerry Olesko, who was a guard. He could deliver the ball behind him between his legs. Well, they won the state Class C that year. They came back the next year and won the state Class B. That's how good they were.
Wow.
But other than that, I worked.
Yep. Picking beans.
Well, no, when I was in high school, I had a job at the dairy.
Oh, yeah. The dairy that's Ed's Electric?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And on weekends, I'd go down there and bottle milk for them.
Wow.
And I worked that way up until I got my own milk route around Walden Lake. And that's where I met C.E. Wilson, who was a president at General Motors.
Oh.
I went in one morning and put milk in the refrigerator, and Mr. Wilson come out. She said, Mel, where are you going to school? I said, well, I got a scholarship to Michigan Tech. She said, did you ever think about General Motors Tech? I said, not really. I said, I understand you have to have some work there to be recommended. She said, see, we'll be out Sunday. She said, why don't you plan to have a cup of coffee with him? Well, he landed in his plane out there, and that morning I had a cup of coffee with him and talked to him about 15, 20 minutes. I left, continued my route. 2 weeks later, I got a letter from Pontiac Motors. Would you please come down to Pontiac for an interview? And so my dad drove me down. I went in. And he said, where would you like to start? At Flint, at the school, or at a plant working? But at that time, you worked 30 days. They paid you. You went to school for 30 days. Hey, that sounded great. He said, be down here in Pontiac Motors March 1st. I said, I don't understand. I said, how did I get in? He said, son, he said, you can't go any higher than C.E. Wilson. He was a president of General Motors that time.
Wow.
He's the one I recognize.
Wow.
Oh, boy. You know, but I had my freshman year there, and I couldn't get deferred. That was when the Korean War was on.
Okay.
Because they didn't have ROTC or anything like that. Well, I came home for about 3 weeks, and the more I thought about it, I went down to enlist in the Air Force. Wouldn't even talk to me. They had a list of 100 guys who wanted to go in the Air Force. So I went over to the Navy. Put you on the list. I said, how many's on the list? And he said, 85. I turned around to him and I said, I've already had my physical for the Army. He said, I'm going to give you a test. Where you come in that test, I'll put you on the list. Guess what? Number one.
Wow.
He said, go home and get your release from the Army for the draft board. I went home, went over to Charlevoix. Mrs. Baker was the head of the draft board. She said, Mel, she said, okay. She went over to the filing cabinet, she pulled out Howard's. Wasn't there. She went to M's and wasn't there. She said, oh, my God. She walked over to the desk of my induction into the Army. It was the third one down. It hadn't been mailed out yet.
Wow.
That was that close.
Well, it's funny how you wind up meeting people who had similar experience. Mel went into the Navy. You were fuel king on a vessel. I went into the Coast Guard, and I was fuel king on a vessel. And I didn't know this until about a year ago when Mel and I were swapping war stories.
Huh.
Mel is one of the men, too, that one of the business owners that didn't see the 8-to-5 banking hours.
Oh, no.
He saw 24 hours a day.
7 days.
You're out of fuel. The pedal truck would run summer, winter, rain, or snow.
Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, it didn't make any difference. If they needed fuel, they got it. Yeah.
I can remember a few times seeing him fuel boats here on the docks. It's been an interesting life for a man here.
Yeah, I guess I've had my experiences, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was very lucky. I was on the same ship for 3 years, 7 months, and 26 days.
Wow. Yeah, you were lucky.
You betcha. I had my orders cut twice because I didn't teach anybody to do my job.
That sounds about right. Mel remembers when Boyne City businesses, fire department, police department, time, you were either a member of the Catholic Church, the Knights of Columbus, the Masonic Lodge, or some other fraternal body.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't, service clubs, you know, they're not really, well, today
also,
they're...
Also kind of, a member, a charter member of the Lions Club here in Boyne City.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a good group of guys.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I was just talking to Ralph Gillette, and he said, come on down here Wednesday, and I'll buy your lunch for you. And I said, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, they have their meetings here on Wednesday, yep.
I just don't get around like I used to. That's the whole thing.
Yep. I know Rex, I was talking to him today, and saying, I'd love to get to talk to you, Rex, and hear your stories of Wednesday.
You betcha. Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to know anything about football and running a chain up and down the football field, winter, summer, rain, or snow, talk to Rex.
Really?
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Him and I were on the chain for 20 years together.
Oh, really? Wow.
And now when the games are up in the UP, mm-hmm. Rex doesn't drive at night anymore. He doesn't drive here anymore, but he's got a friend that drives him up there, and sometimes we wind up having to spend the night because it's too late and comes back. He makes every game.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he was our ball man in basketball for years and years and years.
Yeah, he'll be interesting to talk to, too. Anybody else that you think that we can talk, that we should talk to?
Well, Oral was our bookkeeper.
Yep.
Bill was just a fireman. But he was so worried when he got married that we were going to pull up in front of Bunt Bolt's house mm-hmm. and take him and his bride for a fire truck ride. But we pulled up, but we didn't do it. Yeah. And Oral saw it was another one. He was afraid we were going to do it when he got married.
What were they afraid of?
I'll tell you, this department back in those days, you never knew what they were going to do.
Really?
Look up the verbiage of chivalry.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine a man being borrowed from his wife on his wedding afternoon or evening and handcuffed to a young lady of questionable report?
That's what you would do?
You know, you just have to remember, this used to be a wild town.
You betcha.
Do you think Boyne City's mellowed out?
I don't go downtown anymore to find out.
Yeah.
I guess what bothered me more than anything is the dope problem. I had a guy stop yesterday afternoon, Ed, who was in the Arizona prison system. He was a guard and stuff, mm-hmm. and we were talking. And I don't know what made me mention it, but I said, what do you think about this marijuana situation? He said, you want the truth? I said, if I didn't want the truth, I wouldn't ask you. He said, I think they should legalize it and tax the shit out of it. I'm with him 100% there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Make a lot of money.
Tax it. So
they'd make a lot of money.
You betcha.
Yeah.
But the world is changing.
I can't say it's for the best. I'm glad you're not in Saudi Arabia anymore.
I am too.
Yes.
As one of the years ago, when I came back from Saudi, I brought Mel a hat similar to the one he's wearing. But this had a Saudi crest on it. It had a propeller on it that went round and round. And it had a sign on it saying, Royal Arabian Air Force. And Mel wore it for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And then somebody absconded with the hat.
Yeah, I worried about Ed every time he was over there. But
so you and Ed have been friends for a long time?
Yes.
Yep.
I think I even knew Pat before she married you, didn't I?
I believe so.
I think so, too, yeah.
Been a lot of water under the dam.
You betcha.
It's, and Mel can remember the businesses which are gone. The locker plant. And you would look at me and say, locker plant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just on the north side of Boyne, in the middle of your development area there.
Oh, you live in a trailer, do you? Trailer park?
No, I live over on Pinehurst Shores, kind of by the state park.
Oh, okay, all
yep.
right.
All by right. Jim and Linda Felton.
Okay.
Over that way?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just rented the gym downstairs, yeah.
But the locker plant used to be right there on the, basically by the mouth of the trailer park.
Is it so like where like Northland Tobacco, that place is?
No, it was down towards Latemore.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Well, it's right where Gabus has got his marathon station now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
What was the big push to have all the factories on the lakeshore? Just
well,
that's
listen,
where the water
we
was?
Wanted jobs, is what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back to the start of the factories.
Okay.
How did you transport material?
Right, water.
Before the railroad.
Right.
It went on the water. How did you transport yourself? By water, because you had few roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Boyne City was a city with industry, when they passed a rule to stump Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's it goes back to before you had cars.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was a dray. It's you had horses, you had buggies.
So these factories were built at that time?
They were built on the water because you had a way of shipping material in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Down here where the State Farm office is now, that used to be a meat market. And they'd bring the cows and pigs right in live and butcher them right there from the meat market.
Wow.
And where the, we used to call it the Dairy Queen, it's, what is it now?
Oh, Parkside.
Parkside. That used to be a grocery store and a woman's garment store. The upstairs was the Masonic Lodge.
Hmm. And that burnt, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Burned down?
That sure did.
That was, but these are, the fire has been the disaster of many older Michigan towns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot of towns literally lost half or more of the town in a bad fire with a little bit of wind.
I got something to tell you. When we formed the fire department, there probably was 25 or 30 old, dilapidated houses. Well, at that time, we'd get a permit and we'd burn them down for practice. Well, you can't do that now, air conditioning or air quality, but by burning all those houses down, you drive around and you won't find any scum district of Boyne City because those houses were replaced by other houses.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think we did the city service there too, besides learning a lot of firefighting. And we got so big we could tell you which wall was gonna fall in first.
Wow.
I'm wanting you to try to help me on a piece of information. Was there a engine or a unit with Jake's name on it for Jake Janak?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Back to Oral on the department. He was on it when I was. And up here by Avalanche, there was a house, and we was going to burn it down. Well, what I would do when I was delivering fuel on and stuff, I'd get some leftover, and I'd put it in a pail, and we'd use that to start fires. Well, he went with me to go down to the basement to start a fire. So we spread it out. At that time, that fuel oil had a little gasoline in it. I was on the main floor. He was three steps down. He took a match and threw it in that, and whoo, he was right beside me. He said, "Don't let me do that again." I said, "Well, now you know how East Jordan blew all those windows out of seven houses. They had a house that was all pushed into a basement. They put 10 gallons of gas on it, and nobody had a match. They went and got a match and tossed it in there and broke the windows out.
Oh, my gosh.
Goes back a lot of years.
Yep.
We had a meeting one time. The fire department was out to Cal's between here and East Jordan. All of us had sport coats, suits, ties. Phone ring. Smokey Dillon. "Mel, East Jordan's burning down. They need your help." He said, "The trucks are on the way." We showed up at the fire. We were probably the best dressed fire department in northern Michigan that night. Hmm.
That's funny.
So we had some good times and we had some bad ones, yeah.
So Smokey, he's the one that Oral said, did they name a truck after Smokey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, Jake Janak lived out here in the German settlement. And he had a cat. And that damn cat would crawl up underneath the hood of the car because it was warm. He came into the fire. The cat was still in the car. The cat got out. Of course, Smokey hit the cats. That was the end of the cat. Jake could just kill him right there. Remember Bill Enix?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Enix used to raise us. "Well, how many basements you save?" And all this. The night that the Toledo Ski Club caught a fire at Boyne Mountain,
mm-hmm.
They called us. And we answered the fire. Of course, Bill was out there in his ski tote. He was a big shot around Boyne Mountain. Dick Gerber wet his ass down with a hose. After that, he'd buy all the lottery tickets, anything he wanted to do.
Payback.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So sounds like you had some really good times.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I had a chance to ride the New Old France in the 4th of July Parade this year.
Nice.
We used to drive that to East Jordan.
Wow.
Yeah. I was so glad when they said they were going to make a glass enclosed thing, put it in front of the new fire hall.
Yep.
I just hope I'm around next summer when they dedicate that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's what, and that's part of the reason why they wanted us to interview people so they could do that exhibit, because they'll have a permanent exhibit along with the fire truck.
Yep. That's great.
Yep. So it'll be really good. Yeah. I mean, you hear, it's hard not to be a little bit proud, but you hear of everybody talk about what a great fire department Boyne City has.
Yep.
So well, thanks for all
that. We had a couple guys that you wouldn't go into a building with, but we had most of them that you would.
Yeah.
The one thing Mel learned on shipboard is you rely on each other. If Mel and I were going into a compartment and he had lead hose, I would have lead fog nozzle over the top of Mel. And my job was to keep this curtain of water over Mel.
Yeah.
And if one of us had to back out, two back out. But it's, you learn to support each other, because your life is relying on the man supporting, and his life is relying on you.
Mm-hmm. How true, how true.
It's a, and you learn camaraderie in a hurry.
Yep.
And that's it.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Well, I think that's great. Well, that's awesome. Yep. And we might, you know, need some help identifying some photos maybe down the road.
I'd be glad to.
And if you have any old photos.
Oh, yeah, I got some, but I don't know where they're at now.
Okay. Well, if you come across them, you know, Eddie, he's digitizing all of the stuff for us. So.
You may remember when they were reworking Little France. They took a whole bunch of pictures.
Yep.
Well, I've got those pictures.
Oh, have you?
And I've digitized them and returned the pictures. So now we've got it online where you can go out and look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And they
put some money in that old truck.
It actually includes a picture of Harvey in the middle of the engine getting dirty.
Yeah, that's one thing. Boyne City has always supported us. One of the first meetings we had when we were formed, we took all the hose up on Park Street to water test it. We blew out 8 different lengths of hose. It was in that bad shape.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Well, some of the old pictures will show when the city hall was right over here across the road, and you see the harness for the horses hung up on pulleys, because you run the horses under and the harness drops, and then they haul the wagon around. The original volunteer fire department was good for its day, but then it disbanded.
Well, when we started...
And then you picked it up in the 60s.
When we started, the only ones that were on the fire department were the city police and the city employees.
Mm-hmm.
And myself when they called it, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's
come that far. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, we had... 2 guys from down below that came up and gave us schooling. I'm trying to think of their names. See how they get old. Readiness. He bought a home on Walden Lake out here. He moved back up here. Well, I think he was from Battle Creek. Then there was one from Detroit. Readiness. I didn't think I'd ever forget their names. And one time, Ed, I could take that 60-foot ladder, I could go right up on the top down. I get 8 foot off the ground now, and I get shaky.
Yeah.
I look at the ladder and I get shaky.
Yeah.
Forget trying it. It's the years haven't been kind.
Yeah, we're still around.
Yep.
Oh, I had a damn stroke about 7 years ago.
Oh.
But it could have been a lot worse. I can still drive.
That's good.
My dad left me this cane, thank God. I still got that. My balance is terrible.
Hmm. Yeah.
Fact is, last year, Ed, was the first time since 1956 I didn't go to deer camp. The last buck I killed, I had a hard time pulling the trigger.
Well, the other thing you got to remember is dragging it out and cleaning it.
Yeah, that's...
Chuck Kerman is with me, the last one I got.
Yeah.
And I got shot him on top of the hill. Dragging him down was great. We couldn't pick him up to throw him back to the pickup. We had to drag him back to camp behind the pickup. Oh, God.
I don't know. It's neat, though.
Well, all right. I'm going to end this.